Welcome to Gardening Talk back on to NURFM. Greg Richard joined by Judy Sharp. Judy, great to see you once again.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. Great to be here.
Excellent. What have we got lined up for today, Judy? A little bit of bindies.
Bindies. Time to spray the bindies in your lawn and other weeds as well. A lot of people wait till they start mowing, but I wouldn't mow. I'd spray them now and get to work to get your lawns looking good for summer. Spring, yeah, we spring. Need it. We need it.
Still a little bit of while yet, but yeah, okay. Yeah. Get spraying a bit, some bindi action. Of course, if you've got any questions for Judy Sharp, you can give us a call. Now, Judy, you've got to start spraying for bindis, but surely bindis don't come out till later.
Yeah, but you've got to, they'll start to emerge, Greg.
No, right.
But, you know, we also need to add to do it on a sunny day. And then they can't have rain probably for at least 6 hours.
All right. Does it matter if it's windy?
Well, you're going to get spray all over everywhere.
Sorry, I'm thinking of excuses of not to do it.
Not to do it. Yeah. No, you go home and do it. It's like your chilies.
Yeah, well, I don't spray them, so
no,
I should
but
spray them. But
what about that man's great instruction last week?
Oh, yeah. Was it how to, pretty much a how to do too?
Yeah, so did you do it?
No, I haven't done any of that yet, no.
Oh, I hope he's listening.
Get seeds out for my next chili, so.
Oh, right.
I haven't done that yet.
Oh, okay. Don't forget.
I won't. I'll try not to. What else we got for us today, Judy?
Okay, right. It's time to thin out your hippiastrums.
Yep.
And you know what they are, those lovely, big, colourful flowers that they get at this time of year. They look great in a shallow bowl. And you can, once you replant them in there and they come into flower, take them inside. They make a good display.
Righto.
Yeah, it's a little trick I learnt long, long, long time ago. It fills in the house and makes everything look nice and sunny and coming into spring.
Kind of gets you ready for spring in a way.
Yeah, it does. Well, I've been out there playing with mine a little bit, but hippiastrums will grow in the full sun and they come in red, pink, some white, and many of which are striped. They're very effective in the garden. And if anyone would like to have a great range, it's time to get bulbs from the Diggers Club in Mornington Peninsula.
Oh, I've got to get them all the way down there.
Well, they send them up in the mail. You know, they're just
you don't have to drive down.
No. They're just a big bulb. They put in an envelope and off you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good, really useful.
I didn't know they could do that.
Oh, yeah, they send plants too, Greg.
I thought they just did seeds and stuff. I didn't know they send whole plants.
Oh, no, they have a wonderful list. They have a great catalogue, actually. Chilies in there as well.
Oh, there you go. I'll note that. And we've got Carmel from Lochinvar, and she's got a question about basil plants.
Oh, hello, Carmel. You'd be still getting up frost up there, I would imagine. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, great. Okay, so what's the problem with basil? You're not putting it in yet, are you?
I've only got it in a pot.
Right.
But every time I've gone, like I've got it, like I bought it from like Woolies or Coles, and twice I've bought it, and within a week it dies.
Within a week. Look.
It doesn't last very long, and yet Mum and Dad have got one in a pot on the alfresco area in like a pergola. And it's just thriving, like they've got it in a big pot. Am I doing something wrong? Am I supposed to transport it to a big pot?
Look, at the moment, basil would not like to be where you live. It wouldn't like to be where any of us live at the moment.
Okay.
They don't like the cold. And yours, is it going a little bit black?
It just dies. It just doesn't survive at all.
No, well, I find sometimes I have a bit of luck with the ones that I buy at the supermarket. And, you know, it's a shame sometimes you just want a bit of parsley and then you waste it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I find I don't have a lot of luck, to be honest.
Okay.
Parsley I do, an Italian parsley.
Yeah.
But
basil,
no, you wouldn't even buy that and put it outside at the moment. You'd need to make so much tomato soup and different things and use the whole plant up, Carmel.
Okay, so you wouldn't transport it to a big pot in potting mix inside and maybe it'd keep better?
Well, if it's dead now, but no.
No, it's alive. I only bought one yesterday.
Oh, you bought another one, okay.
I bought another one, yeah.
Well, you could try it because they are only in fairly small pots, of course. So,
yeah,
transplant it up to a bigger one and keep it in a nice sunny spot inside if you can.
Yeah. Do they need a lot of watering or how?
Not at this time of year. The only thing is, I bet you've got a fire or something going, haven't you?
No, we don't have a fire. We've just got a little heater.
Yeah, but it does still dry out the air. So that's the problem. I mean, if you probably listen regularly to the program,
yeah,
I'm just...
I love your program. I've listened to it quite a lot, actually.
Oh, lovely. Well, you've heard me raving on. What do you think I did before I left home today? I sprayed my maidenhair.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Because, you know, everything's drying out because we think it's winter, so then we don't water.
Yeah, so, I quite water a lot of my plants because I've got them in pots on the alfresco and I give them quite a good water.
Okay, well, do the same with your basil. Don't let him dry out. Even though you've just got a little heater on, you know, they do dry the atmosphere out. If it doesn't work this time, we'll then wait till we get real warm weather again.
And try it then,
yeah.
All right. Thanks, Judy.
You're welcome. Good to hear from you. We'll hear from you again, I hope.
You will do. You will do for sure.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Judy. Bye.
We've got Susan now from Spears Points, and she's got a question about clivias and poinsettias.
Oh, hi, Susan. I was going to talk about clivia today. You've beat me to it. So have you got a problem or...?
Not a problem. We have a big bank of clivias, and I noticed that some places they're already flowering. Ours don't look like they're going to flower yet, and they've got yet the tips of the clivias have turned yellow. What am I doing wrong?
Well, if they've turned yellow, I hope you haven't got my problem. It's called clivia caterpillar, and if you turn over that leaf that's going yellow, you will see it. I hope you don't see a cluster of them on the back because they have completely stripped a pot of mine last season and I've done everything but I'm only just getting new leaves shooting now but I'm not spotting flowers at all. But they have made their progress down the driveway and had a little nibble at every one of my clivias. So turn the leaves over, Susan, and just double check, dear.
Okay.
And
so if I do have them, do I spray?
Yes, just buy a very simple pyrethrum instant sprayer. Okay. That's all I'd kill them with. They don't like it. They fall off straight away. You know, of course, I do drench the little horrors. I really like my clivias, but none of mine are looking like shooting. So the one that's shooting for you, is that in more sun?
Well, no, it's a huge bed of them, and they've been fine all the way through. Some, and they're in shade in summer, but of course they're planted under a deciduous tree, so they're getting winter sun on them, but they don't get any summer sun.
Right. Yeah. Well, mine are all in the shade, so that's probably why you're getting a few shoots coming up. Now you have another problem, I believe. What was that?
Yes. You know the lovely. We call them poinsettia plants that people give you at Christmas with the green leaves and the little red flower.
Yeah, you're right on the ball there. Good description.
Okay. We were given one of those and I planted it outside in the garden and it grew beautifully. It looked fabulous, but it's just started dying off. Is that because it's winter?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
right.
I checked a couple of mine that are behind the house where I don't go very often. I have to go to read the water meter around there for them. And I noticed, even though I've got red flowers on mine, they are starting to drop their leaves. And I really think it's just the very cold winter we've had. And the back of my house does get westerlies. So, you know... It depends where yours is growing. Is it prone to the wind or...?
A little bit, not too much. We're sort of quite protected where we are. But
once
the leaves fall off, do I trim it back or do I just leave it?
No,
do
wait.
I
give it
a little bit of a prune?
Yeah, you can, but I'd wait till the weather warms.
Okay.
Yeah, let's hope it does.
I won't do it yet then. I hope so too.
Oh, I think we're all over it this year, aren't we? Yeah, that's for sure.
Thank you very much.
Good luck with that, Susan.
Thanks for your help. Okay.
Bye.
And we've got George from Madawi, and he's got a question about pruning passion fruit vines.
Hello, George. How are you today?
Yes, good afternoon, Judy. How are you?
I'm fighting fit. Only way to be, George, isn't it?
No, that's for sure. That's for sure. My question is in regards to passion fruit vines. we have one that's growing along a fence facing west, so it gets protection from the east, and the house sort of protects it a little bit as well. Fair bit of sun, but the question basically is, when can we prune it?
Okay, George, how long has it been in?
About 2.5 years, 3 years.
Okay, was it a graft?
Gee, now you've got me. now you've got me. We had fruit for the first time this year. The fruit never ripened, but it was the green fruit as such was quite sweet inside.
Right, okay. Look, I think it's a bit cold to be pruning it yet.
Right.
And, you know, I know you're probably wanting to get your new crop up and running. What do you fertilise with, George?
Well, that was my next question.
Well, it's in the ground, isn't it? It's in the garden.
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, why not hit it with a bit of sulphate of potash?
Potash, okay.
That's good to stimulate flowering, and maybe give it a little bit of cow manure as well to kick it along.
Okay, I've got some of that.
Yeah, but we are not pruning yet. It's too cold for a passion fruit.
Okay, so what you're referring around September, October then?
Oh, look, let's hope the end of August we're coming around the bend, eh?
Jeez, I hope so.
I do too. I think we all do this year, George.
So, freezing.
Yeah, look, at Madawa you're pretty well covered. You know, you're not getting a frost there. So I would say probably the end of August, early September. We'll play it by ear, shall we?
Do we cut it back severely, or is it a light prune, or would it be a heavier prune? I would say it would probably be it stretches along the fence that we've sort of given it arms to grow along, probably about 4 metres.
Right. Okay, George. Look, I wouldn't go right back to, you know, ground level. Certainly give it a light prune just to stimulate growth, because when it's that old... it's like us, you know, we give up the ghost sometimes, unfortunately. But look, I'm not wishing that on your passion fruit, but they do have a short lifespan. Most people don't realise that, but I'm thinking, because yours only fruited last year, it might be a graft.
Right, yes. And it fruited only, we picked the fruit off it, I'd say about 4 weeks ago. Because they weren't going, they weren't changing colour to the red, which we thought they were. They stayed green.
Yeah, well, of course, it was getting too cold for them.
Right.
Yeah, so you were lucky it was all right inside. So I think we'll leave the pruning and perhaps give us a ring back later in maybe September and let us know what's happening.
Okay, we'll do that for sure. Appreciate you taking the call, Judy.
Oh, George, you are so welcome. It's interesting to talk to you about different problems.
All right, you have a lovely day. Thank you very
much. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, George. We've got Claudia now from Weston, and she's looking to prune her rose garden.
Hello, Claudia.
Hello, Judy. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. Very, very well.
Pleased to hear that. I've just got a question about mulching my roses.
Right.
I've pruned them. The garden faces east. I've pruned them, and I normally spread mulch now. Question is, the ground this year is very wet. It's normally it's a sandy soil, but it is very wet at the moment. Am I likely to cause the roses to rot if I put the mulch down now?
Oh, look, Claudia, I would wait. Have you fertilised them after you pruned them?
No, I'm about to head for that.
Okay, yes. So do you give yours poultry manure?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Right, and 3 weeks later, a handful of rose food.
Yes.
So if you mulch now, you're not going to give them the rose food in 3 weeks' time. So I think the indicator here is we'll wait till after you apply the rose food and let's see what the weather's doing then, and maybe mulch. Maybe, okay, you know, in about 3 or 4 weeks' time.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because the ground's never been this damp, you know, and I thought, oh, I don't know that I'm going to do them a favour by keeping the cold and the wetness in there, you know.
No, I don't think you are. Particularly, you're probably still getting a frost up there, I would imagine.
Yeah, we do. We've had a few. I've got a fairly big bottle brush that protects the roses out the front a fair bit.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah.
It takes the beating.
It takes it, yeah. My grass stays green and other people goes brown, so it's covering it a bit, yeah.
Yeah. No, look, I think you're on the right track, but definitely leave that mulching. What do you mulch with, some sugar cane?
Yeah, sugar cane.
Oh, yeah? No, that's great. Yep. No, yep. Well, let's wait a while to do that.
Okay.
Give them a
thank
chance
you.
To shoot and absorb the fertilisers.
Okay, thanks so much for that, Judy. You just made me feel... I was tending to head that way, but I thought, no, I'd ask somebody that actually knows.
No, you're quite welcome, Claudia. Any time, give us a buzz.
Okay, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, bye.
Bye.
And we've got Peter from Glendale, and he's got a question about succulent plants and when to fertilise them.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Hi, Judy. I've had them for about 12 months, but I don't know whether they're supposed to have fertiliser or not. There are only a couple of little ones.
Right, are they shooting at all, Peter?
Well, there's a couple of tiny plants come up around them.
Right, okay. Look, they're pretty hardy creatures. I go out and chop mine to pieces all the time. I don't, you know, all you've got to worry about is the cold now. I think maybe wait a couple of weeks till you get into August. So what were you going to fertilise with?
Well, I haven't got a clue, really. Like I say, I've had them about 12 months and I water them and I put them out in the sunshine, like I live in the unit, but I put them on the windowsill so they get plenty of sunshine. But other than that, I don't know if I'm supposed to be feeding them anything or not.
Yeah, well, look, you can, of course. And the fact that you've got little side ones coming up, it means they're quite healthy. I wouldn't, right. You know, wouldn't go overboard. Have a look around when you're out and about for flourish for cactus and succulents.
Flourish.
It's in a packet and probably it's, from my memory, it's yellow for cactus
right.
and succulents. And you can give that to them in their water about once a week.
All right.
If
yes,
you're
yes.
keen. So it means you're not over-fertilising them because that product is designated to just, administer the right amount.
All right, yeah. So, the person who gave them to me said they don't need any fertiliser, but... Well, so I've had them 12 months and I just wonder if they do need any.
Look, you know, I don't think you have to go overboard with this, Peter, but if you're going to make a hobby of it, well, okay, just see if you can get something to give them a little bit of a kick along. But don't worry, I'd wait till, we're getting into spring.
Yeah, okay then. Okay, thanks very much, Judy.
That's
thank
okay,
you.
Peter, and give us a buzz back if you do fertilise them and let us know if you're probably going to... split them up and give them to all your family and friends for gifts.
Yeah, that actually it'll come in one pot, but they've got too big for the pot, so I'll put them in two little pots. So,
right, okay. Yeah, no, look, you're doing all the right things, Peter, but I appreciate the call and hope that's helped you.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Geez, thanks, Peter. Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM, 4921 6216. And, Judy, you want to talk about tomato plants a little bit before?
Yeah, we did. We should.
But they're a summer plant, aren't they?
No, because you can start planting tomatoes. So it's fertilising a week before you plant. And if you're going in the garden, well, you'll fertilise with cow manure, ready to plant the tomatoes. And, of course, then after they start to grow, well, then you'll give them a liquid fertiliser like the Flourish. For tomatoes, and you can do that every week regularly. And it depends on the tomatoes whether you're planting littlies or biggies, because the biggies you've got to watch for the fruit fly.
Right. I think, you mentioned a few times it's the little ones, the little cherry tomatoes.
Oh, they don't get the fruit fly. I think their skin's a bit hard for them to pierce. Yeah.
That probably seems a more sensible bet then, doesn't it?
Go for the small ones. Yeah. And I think that's what most people are doing today. And they grow so easy and you get an incredible crop of the small ones. Yeah. So, but certainly fertilise for a week before you plant. That's if you're in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to grow into pots, which a lot of people do with their tomatoes, particularly if you've got a balcony and you live in an apartment or a unit or something, and you get a fair-sized pot and put your tomato in the centre with a stake... particularly even with the little ones because they get very big and fall over, and then start to give them the liquid fertiliser every week.
right.
Yeah, but in the garden, you can give them a little bit more. Do the cow manure a week before you plant.
Right. So it's all getting set for. Here's me thinking we'd worry about it in spring, but we do it now.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, no. They'll be very, very happy to be planted out in a couple of weeks' time.
And we've got Mick now from at Cameron Park, and he's got a question about dwarf lemon and orange trees and pots.
Hello, Mick. How are you today?
Yeah, not too bad. How are you, Judy?
I'm very, very well, and I'm glad you've rung about this because I am just about to plant a lime tree, a dwarf lime.
That's my next one.
Why do you buy limes, Mick?
Well, just mainly for fish and some chicken dishes and things.
Okay. So, well, we won't go into.
And I just like the look of them, something in the yard or whatever.
Yeah, they're really nice. I only grow them for Scott. You know, he loves them.
Yep,
we won't like go into why he likes them, but anyway.
I slip a few in a Corona every now and then.
Well, there you go. And so I'm just, mine decided it was going to toss in the towel. Someone in the family did prune it, so I've let it go for a little while, but it's coming out and I've just bought a nice new dwarf one that's ready to shoot and get going. And, you know, so in pots, that's fine. You just have to give them a decent-sized pot.
I've got they're in 50-litre pots, which look suspiciously like a beer keg with a top cut out, which work great and look great.
That's going to be ideal size.
Yep.
Definitely.
But the soil's settling a fair bit.
Right, okay.
And I'm wondering, am I going to hurt them if I'm topping them up with manure or something up the trunk a bit?
No, because what you will find, Mick, you'll have a graft. Can you see the graft?
Yeah, that's what I've got, yeah.
Right, okay.
See that.
Yeah, well, definitely never go above that graft.
Yep, otherwise rot or something will set in, will it? Or?
Oh, well, look, they can rot at the graft, but hopefully not. Just keep the soil away from the graft. But, you know, make sure that you're giving them a regular fertilise and, you know, perhaps also do the liquid one in a pot. So
yep.
Just
and I've been slipping some spring onions around them too because I've heard onions are good for keeping bugs away.
Well, yeah, maybe. Well, you know, to be honest, I don't find citrus get that many bugs, but they do get the citrus bug that climbs up them, but that tends to be more in the ground. So in pots, I think you're going to be safe.
Yep, the orange, I got two fruit off it. I've only had them in nearly a year.
Yeah.
I've got two fruit off the orange. The bugs got straight into that or flies got into it.
Oh, fruit fly.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And the lemons have been fine. I've got three lemons off and they've been fine.
Yeah, they obviously don't like the sour lemon.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. No, well, you know, you might have to try and put some baits or something around, but it's difficult when they're in pots, Mick.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that'll put something over them.
Yeah, you could do that, yeah. But, yep. You know, especially if you're getting a good crop growing.
Yep, and no pruning, just let them go wild.
Oh, look, yeah, I've never pruned mine. I don't know why that gentleman in the family decided to prune, but we won't go back over that. I mean, I have left it in a few months just to kind of remind him what he did. But anyway, What are you laughing at, Greg?
Nothing. It's...
Oh, he's laughing because...
I've peed on the lemon, but I haven't on the orange.
Uh-huh, right, okay, well...
I don't know if that's the difference.
So you've got them in the sun, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm getting as much sun as I can have on them.
Right, okay,
that's
well, they...
in the pots, just if I need to, I can move them.
Yeah, well, they're big pots to be moving, but citrus do like the full sun.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to get as much as I can on them all day.
Okay, good on you, Mick. Good luck with them.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye.
Thanks for your help. See you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks, Mick. Gardening talk back on to when you are at FM. Speaking of lemon and limes.
Yep.
I have someone who used to have a lime tree.
Yep.
Would you give limes that were falling on the ground to people?
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah, but as long as they're not pierced.
Okay.
Why wouldn't you?
I got given limes from, I'll say a family member as well, who's not in the country at the moment, so it's all right.
Well, I did the same, didn't I?
It's been ragging our relatives while they're out of town. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure all the limes she gave me were from off the ground.
Yeah,
because they're all soft on one side.
Oh, right, okay. Well, they're no good.
Yeah.
But as long as they've – why would they be soft?
I think they've been on the ground for a while, I would imagine.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay. Well, you know, she needs to pick them up straight away and give them to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pity, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It was very disappointing when I looked for the bag and went, oh, these are all no good.
No, well, if they've got a little mark on them, that means the fruit fly could be in them. But I don't find they tend to get on limes. They don't tend to attack citrus very often.
Okay.
Yeah, but maybe get a little lime tree of your own.
I'm thinking that now.
Yeah.
And then pick them myself.
Yeah, definitely.
Can't complain then.
No, that's for sure.
Judy Sharp, nearly out of time for another week, but you want to talk about indoor plants as well, sort of.
Yeah, I did today.
Give a bit of a dusting.
Yeah, look, during the winter, you know, you've got everything closed up and no nice breeze coming in. And the indoor plants, if they're big leafed and they're shiny leaves, they will get a layer of dust on them. So it's a good time now while you're stuck in the house, out of the cold weather, to go along and wipe them over with white oil.
Okay. So you can't just wipe them over with a bit of kitchen paper or something. You got to...
No, Greg, no, no.
Well, that's a reasonable question.
Well, it's one I thought you might have had the answer for by now after all this time. But anyway, no, we're definitely going to do white oil.
Yep.
And...
I don't know. We've got 4 seconds.
Maybe fertilise them a little bit down the track. Okay.
It's Gardening Talk back. See you next week, Judy.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.